Minute 9. Shopping. Fake money. Jimmy went into a shop, took a toy tank, gave the shopkeeper fake money, and started to leave. So the shopkeeper told him, "Excuse me, little boy, this isn't real money." Little Jimmy didn't reply, continuing walking out of the shop. The shopkeeper repeated himself, and Jimmy kept walking. The third time the shopkeeper called him, Jimmy said, "What?" The shopkeeper said, "I'm sorry, young man, but this is not real money." Jimmy looked at the tank in his hands, looked at the shopkeeper, and finally said, "And this isn't a real tank either."
Bye-bye, Grandpa. A young woman was walking through a supermarket to pick up a few things when she noticed an old man following her around. Thinking nothing of it, she ignored him and continued shopping. After she got what she wanted, she went to the checkout line. But the old man got in front of her. "Pardon me," he said. "I'm sorry if my staring at you has made you feel uncomfortable. It's just that you look just like my granddaughter, who just died recently. And I miss her very much." "I'm very sorry," replied the young woman. "Is there anything I can do for you?" "Yes," the old man said. "Can you say bye-bye, Grandpa, to me? It would make me feel so much better." "Sure," answered the young woman. As the old man was leaving, she called out, "Bye-bye, Grandpa." When she stepped up to the checkout counter, she saw that her total was $178.50. "How can that be?" she asked. "I only bought a few things." "Your grandpa said you would pay for him," said the clerk.
Washing a rabbit. A young boy, about 7 years old, was at the corner shop picking out a box of laundry detergent. The clerk walked over and, trying to be friendly, asked the boy if he had a lot of laundry to do. "Oh, no laundry," said the boy. "I'm going to wash my rabbit." "But you shouldn't use this to wash your rabbit. It's very powerful, and if you wash your rabbit in this, he'll get sick. In fact, it might even kill him." But the boy was not to be stopped, and carried the detergent to the counter and paid for it, even as the clerk still tried to talk him out of washing his rabbit. About a week later, the boy was back in the shop to buy some candy. The clerk asked the boy how his rabbit was doing. "Oh, he died," the boy said. The clerk said he was sorry the rabbit died, but added, "I tried to tell you not to use that detergent on your rabbit." "Well," the boy replied, "I don't think it was the detergent that killed him." "Oh, what was it then?" "I think it was the washing machine." Unit 10. Social Relations.
Prune to Susan. Nick and Susan had been childhood sweethearts. Now collected enough courage to ask her the most important of all questions. "There are a lot of advantages to being single," he began. "But there comes a time when you long for the companionship of another person. ill person who will regard you as perfect as an idol. It'll be a person you can treat as your absolute own, who will be kind and faithful when times are hard, who will share your joys and sorrows. To his delight, Nick saw her eyes light up with joy. Then Susan nodded in agreement and responded, "I think it's a great idea. Can I help you choose which puppy to buy?"
On a date. Tom has been seeing a girl for several years. She's attractive and intelligent, and he always enjoys being with her. One Sunday afternoon, the two of them are taking it easy. They are having a walk on a moonlit beach, and with the sea breeze blowing through her hair and the stars in her eyes, she suddenly tells Tom she thinks she really loves him. But she can no longer bear the uncertainty of not knowing where their relationship is going. She says she's not asking whether he wants to get married, only whether he believes they have some kind of future together. Tom says he also has strong feelings for her, but he cannot honestly say he'll be ready soon to make a lasting commitment, and he doesn't want to hurt her by holding a false hope. This almost breaks her heart. She turns around and walks away. My relatives. My name's Jerry Cooper, and everybody says I must be mentally ill when I talk about my relatives. You see, I married a widow with a grown-up daughter who then became my stepdaughter. My dad came to visit us, fell in love with my lovely stepdaughter, and then married her. So my stepdaughter is now my stepmother. Soon my wife had a son who was, of course, Dad's brother-in-law, since my son is the half-brother of my stepdaughter, who is now, of course, my dad's wife. So, as I told you, when my stepdaughter married my dad, she was at once my stepmother. Now, since my new son is brother to my stepmother, he also becomes my uncle. As you know, my wife is my step-grandmother, since she is my stepmother's mother. Don't forget that my stepmother is my stepdaughter. Remember, too, that I'm my wife's grandson. But hold on just a few minutes more. You see, since I'm married to my step-grandmother, I am not only my wife's grandson and her husband, but I am also my own grandfather. Unit 11. Travel.
Traveling with a cat. Traveling to Boston. Mrs. Simons had checked her luggage through, and also the cage carrying her cat. The flight was uneventful. After landing, the luggage appeared after a normal wait. However, the cat cage was not there. The luggage handlers noticed the cat was not moving. After checking, they thought the cat must have died in the cold luggage compartment. It looked like an ordinary cat, so they decided to find another one to put in the cage. In the meantime, Mrs. Simons kept asking about the rest of her luggage. She was told it was delayed. Time dragged on while the luggage handlers found a replacement cat in a pet shop, which they put into the cage. They finally brought the cage with the cat to Mrs. Simons. She looked into the cage, jumped back with a horrified look, and screamed out, "This is not my cat. My cat was dead, and I was back home for a proper burial."
Trip to France. A young woman to end her own life by throwing herself into the ocean. She went down to the docks and was about to leap into the water, when a handsome young sailor saw her crying on the edge of the pier. He took pity on her and said, "Look, you've got a lot to live for. I'm off to France in the morning, and if you like, I can stow you away on my ship. I'll take good care of you and bring you food every day." Moving closer, he slipped his arm around her shoulder and added, "I'll keep you happy, and you'll keep me happy." The girl nodded yes. After all, what did she have to lose? That night, the sailor brought her aboard and hid her in a lifeboat. From then on, he came to talk to her every night, and they absolutely had a good time together. A week later, during a routine inspection, the captain discovered the young woman. "What are you doing here?" the captain asked. "I have an arrangement with one of the sailors," explained. "I get a trip to France, and he's promised to marry me after we get there." "A trip to France," the captain said. "But this is the Rock Island Ferry." Unit 12. Weather.
Snowplow. Paul and his wife live in Chicago. One winter morning, while watching TV, they heard the weatherman say, "We are going to have 3 to 4 inches of snow today. You must park your car on the even-numbered side of the street so the snowplow can get through." Paul goes out and moves his car. A few days later, while they are eating breakfast, the TV weatherman says, "We are expecting 4 to 5 inches of snow today. You must park your car on the odd-numbered side of the street so the snowplow can get through." Paul goes out and moves his car again. The next week, they are having breakfast, when the TV weatherman says, "We are expecting 7 to 8 inches of snow today. You must park." Then the power goes off. The power goes out. Paul says to his wife, "Honey, I don't know what to do." She says, "Why don't you just leave the car in the garage this time?"